I'd like to say thank you also to Joan and Jimmy, not just for curating this series year in, year out, this wonderful series that I've enjoyed so much since I've been in Pittsburgh, but also for finding room for me in it, which is nice, and for putting me together with such a wonderful bunch of poets. One of the things that I really love is the fact that every week that I come here, I hear poems that I know I could never have written. It's a beautiful thing. My name's David Adess, as you've heard, but I didn't always know that that was my name. I thought that my name was David Addis. And the reason I thought that was because when my parents migrated to Australia from Egypt, they dropped the accent on the E. And so for many years, that's what I called myself. And my sister at some point discovered the truth. And in my 20s or 30s, she and I and a bunch of my generation reinstated the accent. And the reason I mention this is because there are people wandering around the world with my name, some with the accent and some without the accent. And one of them was a very famous jazz saxophonist in Australia who died about 18 months ago. I never got to see him play, and I never met him. I did email him once, but it prompted this poem. Vale David Addis. No, actually, Vale David Addis. One. The way it ends. In the middle of a... Two. The way we see ourselves. In light. Ablaze. Dancing with outline. Image. Shadow orbiting body. Ahead. Behind. To the side. Waxing. Waning. Slipping over the horizon into darkness. And reflection. Tracking along windows, mirrors, reflective surfaces, disappearing and appearing in endless hide and seek, familiar, comforting, reinforcing presence. Something else, less visible, more blurred, name, around which the wrappings of a life. The way we see ourselves, the way we are seen and unseen. Three, the way we reach. Confession. I search cemeteries, graves, the internet, newspapers, telephone directories, street signs, named paving stones on roads at memorials for my name. Iterations of others calling themselves what I call myself. Half shadows on the other side of veils of separation. As if to confirm, meet, validate, as if to solidify, as if to know myself otherwise, as if to inhabit other lives, know them for my own. Others do it too. My life listing every David Addis who has searched for me. Over a dozen, it seems, without making contact. The way we reach for ourselves, for one another. The way we cast our nets, haul in our catch. Four, the way we are made. Lineages, where do they join? Where do they part? The way we are made from each other's ribs, the way we are riven. Five, the way we are lost and found. It happened once, face wrapped in thunderclouds beneath evening's dark imminence, the bus late or missed, feet stomping down North Terrace to the next stop and the one after. Downcast, eyes on the pavement, and David Addis looking back at me. David Addis looking back at me, sticky name tag fallen from my lapel 10 days earlier, walked upon by thousands of feet, scuffed, blackened, lying in wait to ambush my mood, break a spell. The way we are lost and found, the way we are vessels into which oceans pour. Six, the way we are enmeshed. 24 are listed through LinkedIn, 4 in the New York area alone, and in Sao Paulo, Canada, Mexico, others in England, another at www.davidaddis.com, attorneys, real estate agents, artists, chief financial officers, project managers, account representatives, new products development managers, vice presidents, chief revenue officers, music compilers, all unmet. I stand at a distance, unsure, beckoned. The way we are separate, alone, the way we are enmeshed. Seven. The way our lives span. The first one, decades ago, before I was poet, when I was barely man, name leaping from a newspaper review of a concert by Vince Jones and his band, paper in my hand as I stood in my parents' kitchen that long ago. The way our lives span, the way we span lives. 8. The way we move one another. There he is, vital in his skin, flush, smiling, ablaze, whitening hair neatly tied back in a ponytail, in the company of friends, singers, musicians, around which the wrappings of a life. Glimpsed on stage, on YouTube, on his Facebook page, in glowing reviews, snapshots of decades of concerts, fragments, still lifes, saxophone cradled, drawing me into a look, a sound, an uncanny resemblance to close family members, the magnetic pull not just of name, of look, of sound, but of aura, emanation, exuding an instinct of how to live a life, showing me a way, the way we move one another, the way we are each other's guides, muses, kin. 9. The way we surrender ourselves, mouth to mouth, breathing into a saxophone, giving it life, the notes spilling from breath, one lush billowing note after another, playing solo, mood saxophone at dusk in a harbour in Tuscany. He is all ambience. He is blurred, out of focus, in and out of the frame, in a backdrop of darkening mountains, fluttering flags, lights reflected in water, a boat passing by. The way we surrender ourselves, the way we find our own fleeting perfection. 10. The way we hold and are held. Blue. I harboured a wish without knowing it. Too late now to see him play in person. Too late to sit just once inside the curve and swell, inside the breath, inside the blue lingering note, inside the irrepressible joy of life, inside the art of sound he drew for everyone who came to listen. Blue. The way he enfolds me inside a perfect note. The way I hold him in my words. 11. The way we blaze. Neurons, synapses, laughter, stories, clinking glasses, friendships, riffs, conversations, lightning flashes, camaraderie, lovers, heartbreak, children, night, day, journeys, awakenings, senses, noises, silences, music, touch, arguments, voices, epiphanies, jazz, orbits, the way we light up, the way we blaze our lives, the way constellations revolve around us. 12. The way he played it. Not for the accolades, the applause, not for the acclaim, the awards, not for the perfect note, the sound, not for love or money, though yes to all of it, but for the moment, and for joy, for joy, for joy. 13. The way it ends. In the middle of a breath, a thought, a pause, in the middle of the finished and unfinished, of a beginning, a saxophone's blue note, a dream, a sigh, in the middle of a... Thanks. I wish I did get to see him play. He's got some fabulous stuff on YouTube. Well, I've been here since 2011 and I've written more Pittsburgh poems than I've written poems about home. I'm going to read two poems about Pittsburgh and that'll be it. The first one is a poem that came out of Michael Worster's Wednesday reading discussion group. We read a couple of years ago an anthology of Hispanic poets. And there was a Hispanic poet, Kevin Gonzalez, who I believe lived in Pittsburgh for a little while in the early 90s. And he wrote a poem about his experience here. And I was taken by the poem, but I was also taken by the fact that the Pittsburgh that I've encountered is not the same Pittsburgh that he wrote about. And so I wanted to respond to his poem, and I adopted the form of his poem, the style of his poem, but I kind of updated it with my own version. The night before another departure. Even before leaving you, Pittsburgh, my eyes were filled with post-autumnal light. The way Pittsburgh, it falls, slanted, illuminating another window, another mural, the daily enactment of reinvention, mirroring you, Pittsburgh, how you have overtaken your past, blast furnaces, steel mills, chimneys, heavy boots, soot, your very own Pittsburgh powder rooms, without abandoning any of it. Not so much a shed skin as a layer beneath newer layers, still stitched by threads of rivers, by steel bridges, pocketfuls of suburbs, potholes, road construction, stitched into the fabric of lives like mine, a stranger, adopted, showing me, Pittsburgh, a new dress, a new evening gown, like the Phipps Conservatory ablaze in winter lights, becoming Pittsburgh, a home I never knew I wanted. Thanks. And, well, I've actually been wanting to read this poem for a while. This is the poem that won the University of Canberra Prize last year. I was very surprised about that. I still am. And it was inspired by your very own Joy Katz, who became a good friend. Dazzled for Joy Katz. A song swirled, caught the wind like a sail, billowing. I was learning the cold again, brisk, penetrating, winter's breath. I breathed it in and out, felt it on my nose, my cheeks, seeping through my gloves. Walking along Forbes and South Dallas to your house, little clouds of breath drifted and dispersed. I checked myself, wary of unseen ice. Hard-packed snow crunched underfoot. Slushy ice filled the intersections, treacherous. How beautiful the cemetery. Headstones, graves, mausoleums, all pristine under their white coverlets, sleeping, trees quiet in their white skeletons, everything at peace in the bridal white of the day. I sidestepped a snow plough, heaping snow off the pavement skirting the cemetery, hefted my day pack, a bag of bagels. In the warmth of your home, I found it in a stray glance, read it twice, quickly, amid a noisy scattering of children. All those fragments of conversation started then. You hunted for the book I asked you to find. Your friends from out of state arrived. On the back roof, workmen slowly unrolled a black mat, softened it with their blowtorch. Piper, your little dachshund, pitter-pattered out to the front yard, suffered the snow, chewed with doggy single-mindedness the carrots and prunes once adorning the snowman, left the snowman's corpse in droplets of orange. The aesthetic pleasure of seeing your poem in a calendar on a page normally reserved for paintings or photographs or other more visual arts. Your conversation with yourself, the jousting about faith, the paradox of your disavowal of God whilst invoking God, even as your poem in its every facet shone with faith. The imaginative leaps, the surprise of being led so deftly from here to there, as if you were vaulting the heavens, mapping the shortest way between stars with wormholes of light for others to follow. Afterwards, I went to a party celebrating the birth of a baby girl. I arrived knowing only my wife and daughters, talked amid a noisy scattering of children, left hours later having found my reflection in a new pair of eyes. The car slipped and skidded on an icy road, my daughter sitting tired in the back seats, one singing to herself, the other screaming about a lost bracelet. Later still, when finally everyone was asleep, I lay in bed in the quiet of a winter night. What struck me then was how your poem sang to me in a voice I never knew I had missed, how it swelled, caught the wind like a sail, billowing its irresistible linear progression, despite the surprises, to the final word that could be no word other than dazzled, and how, dazzled, I lay in bed with my voice swelling, beginning to sing my reply.